This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
A group of men. Oh, there are some ladies here. Welcome. Good to see you as well. In 1914, Ernest Shackleton set sail to cross the Antarctica continent via the South Pole, and it was a trip that had never, ever been taken before, so it was a brand new venture. And in 1915, now note the years, 1914 he set sails, 1915 his ship got caught in ice packs, and he sailed along, floated along in this ice pack for 10 months. And at some point, I don't understand how it all works, but the pressure of this ice pressed in because of winds that were coming along. And they abandoned the ship, and they get on these ice packs, and they watch their only means of survival, so to speak, go to shreds. And if you read the book, it's almost heart-rending as you read through the steps that were taking place. Some of you are nodding your heads and you've read that. I haven't read the whole book, but I took snatches out of it. But the ship there just groaned and cracked and snapped, and for days it went through this agony. And the men stood off to the side there and watched their means of survival going into pieces, until at one point the ship just simply gave up, took in water, and sank out of sight. And for months they continued to wait on this ice pack. And finally they took their lifeboats, three of them. The carpenter went and fixed them up to try to make them more seaworthy. And they set sail, and they sailed to Elephant Island through some difficult journeys again. And when they got to Elephant Island, it was a remote island. Nobody had ever been on that island. And that was the first they had set foot on land for a long period of time. From there, Ernest went and took one of the lifeboats and took pieces from the other ones and made up a sturdier lifeboat. He had a carpenter along that did all this. And five men went on with him, and they sailed across water, open water, to the tune of around 1,000 miles. And it took them 16 days to get across. And they got to Georgia, South Georgia Island, and they got on the wrong side of the island, so to speak, because the people that lived on this island were on the other side of the island, and nobody had ever crossed this island on foot before. And he had an axe, and he had a rope, and they treked across the island to find people. From there, they got a ship and sailed back to Elephant Island and picked up the rest of the people, and everybody survived. I can tell you this story in a nice, comfortable, safe environment, and we say, what of it? What's the significance about that? Well, you take that book and you start reading it, and you get caught up in the agony and the turmoil and the struggle and the endurance and the aspect of just keeping his morale in place. Ernest made the statement that it is easier to face the storms of life, the elements coming on him, the waves, the camping out on ice packs, it's easier to weather those storms than having the morale start to deteriorate amongst his group. When that happens, he says, then we have lost all hope. He says, somehow we have to keep that moving forward. Then we've got to keep going through. So as I read a story like that, and none of us, I don't think, I don't know all of you, but I doubt if any one of us can get up and say, Kevin, I've been through exactly the same thing that Ernest Shackleton has been through, or actually been through worse. You want to read my book? I don't think there's anybody here that can say that. However, we have all faced difficult experiences in life. And the Bible makes it very clear that we're not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Sometimes we think that, you know, I've had it really, really tough. And we could all share experiences. And there would be, we'd probably be shedding tears this morning and we'd share our stories. But let's remember that let's not compare ourselves amongst ourselves and say, well, you've got it a whole lot more difficult than, or I've got a whole lot more difficult than what you have it, or vice versa. We've all gone through difficult times. And is there a formula that we can use to weather the storms in life? Is there a formula? Now, there's not a cookie-cutter formula, but there is a formula. And we simply pick up the Bible, and in there we find the formula. And I imagine you could all talk about, share different verses that you keep anchoring yourself back to and saying, that's my verse that I hang on to. And God bless you. But I think of the verse where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'd like to ask Jeffrey just to hand out a handout that I have. I keep things simple. I'm just a simple type of person. This technology goes over my head, so I keep it simple for myself. And there's just a pamphlet that he's going to be handing out, and you can use it as a document that you can work through. But there is a formula. And when we break down that verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that word understanding can be taken, and you can say it unto thine own feelings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And in this handout that's being handed out, and I'm not too sure if I'm going to have enough. Hopefully I do, but we'll see here. If not, you might have to share some of them here. But in this document that I'm handing out here is leadership. When holes have sprung in our ship, it's not if, it is when. I'd venture to ask you, if you say, oh, there's never been a hole that has been sprung in my ship, I'd like to ask you, how long have you been in leadership? Like, are you still in the honeymoon stage? Because leadership is a lot of fun, okay? It really is. I'm just going to be that frank with you. Leadership is exciting. If you don't find leadership exciting, then just step out and follow, okay? That's my perspective on it. We should be enthused about leadership. We should not be dragging our tail and saying, serious, do I really have to face this next date? No, we should be excited and passionate. But in all that excitement, there are going to be times when we take a look at our ship and we say, there's a hole that has sprung. Then what? What do we do? There's a picture that I had come across and I thought of putting it in on this document, but there's a ship that is sinking, and the guys at the back end of the ship, they're bailing the water out, and the guys at the front end of the ship that's still sticking over the water, they're saying, I'm glad my end of the ship isn't sinking. Well, that's a poor way of looking at leadership. We've got to realize that we're in this thing together, and we need each other's help to navigate our way through this. But we will face times when a hole has sprung in our ship. And then the question is, then what? I would simply like to walk through. You see it on your handout there, the very bottom there. There's this facts, faith, and feelings. It's a train that is going down a track. And I lived right beside a train track when we lived in Northern Ontario. It was only about 100 feet away from our house. And a train went through there numerous times. And it would go through at significant speeds. But every time this train came around the bend and passed our place, I always knew with surety that I'm going to see the engine first, and then I'm going to see all these cars, and then I'm old enough to say, and then there was a caboose. All right? So you young people might be sitting here and say, what's a caboose? Well, just look in your history books and you're going to find out there was cabooses on these trains. I don't think they do them anymore, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't seen them recently, but I don't think you see too many cabooses anymore because of technology. That's just the way it was. Now, if it ever was going the other direction, or if it ever was the opposite where I saw a caboose coming around the corner, that train was just moving extremely slow. It was backing up for some reason. I didn't understand it all, but never at a high speed did I see a caboose come flying around the corner, and then all the cargo, and then the engine. I just never saw that. I never realized the significance of it until I did some studying into that. And this is going to be a formula that you have probably all seen this before, and say, but it's something that I need to wrestle with personally. When I'm facing difficult experiences in life, I have to wrestle with this thing. Do I have the train in the proper order? Am I keeping facts as the engine? Is my faith loaded full? As you can see in this picture here, you know, the Bible talks about increasing our faith. And there's going to be times in our lives when our faith feels like it's just, well, that's why the Bible says, there's this individual that came to Jesus and says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And I am convinced that Jesus looked at that individual. He did not discredit him and say, look, come back to me when you've got more faith. But Jesus took that individual right at that level and says, I will work with you. I'm going to reach out to you. I'm going to minister to you. And through my ministering to you, your faith will increase. But the Bible just says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been in that situation? Where you looked at this cargo and you said, I just feel like I don't have a lot of faith in this situation. But just take that little bit of faith. Well, actually, we heard that in the message this morning. It says a grain of mustard seed. Just bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. And we can work our way through. There is a formula that we can use when we face difficult times in life. There is a formula. Now, we can all sit down where our stories will be different. But there's a formula. And we come back to that scripture verse where we trust in the Lord with all our hearts. So we're going to simply look at the facts, and we're going to look at the faith, and then we're going to look at feelings. And again, I'm going to share that too many times I wrestle with it. My feelings want to get it to the front, and it gets this whole thing messed up badly when I do that. So I have to discipline my mind that I'm going to put the facts first. I've got a hole in my ship. I'm going to put the facts first. And I'm going to work my way through this situation. There is that aspect that we have to have that courage to work our way through. Now, I'm going to probably talk about it at some point that there may come a time in your life when you realize that you're going to have to abandon ship. But do that, may I say, as a last resort. I'm not sure if I should quite say it that way, but put some extreme careful thought into before you abandon ship. Too many people want to abandon ship the moment that there's a hole sprung in their ship. That's feelings now coming to place. Why are you on this ship in the first place? Why did you get on in the first place if you want to bail out the moment you start having a hole in your ship? There's a lot of questions to be asked. And so don't abandon ship too quickly. And we'll get into that probably later on when we talk about abandoning the ship. Fact number one that I'd like you to write down is God knows, God loves, and God promises. God is, God knows, God loves, and God promises. Hang on to those facts all the time. It's like that lighthouse that it's that you just hang on to that God is he just is. And he knows the situation. All right? I'm just going to share you my weakness. I tremble before I get up to do public speaking. It's just the way it is. I don't know how to get over it. I've tried for years and I can't get over it. But I just simply sit there before I get up and say, God, you are and you know. You know all the words that are going to be coming out of my mouth. And I'm just simply going to trust in you. You see the big picture. You just simply want me to, and we get into the faith aspect. But God knows. And so hang on to that in every situation. And you say, this is, Kevin, we were coming to this meeting for something more profound than this. This is too elementary. No, this is the basic. This is what you've got to hang on to in every situation, that God knows. He knows exactly. He knew about this situation taking place prior to it happening. He knows that what's going to be taking place in the future. He's just asking us to put our faith and our confidence in him. So we hang on to that. We open up the scriptures on a regular basis, and we just keep looking at the promises that are in there over and over and over. One of that comes to my mind that Now to him that knoweth, verses slips of mind now. We know that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good. To who? To them that love God and something according to his purpose. God just simply allows everything to work together for good if we continue to put our faith in him. And there's going to be situations that happen in our lives that we're saying, I don't get the picture. I don't understand what's so good about this. But someday, when we're in glory, we're going to be able to see that picture, and it was for our good. Many times, it's just simply to test us and say, okay, Kevin, how are you going to respond to this situation? But God has promises after promise in the scripture that we need to hang on to and take a hold of them. Secondly, I have down here is reevaluate your vision, mission, and core values. Reevaluate your vision, mission, and core values. And the reason I say reevaluate is because you shouldn't even be on the ship if you don't have a vision. All right? So don't even get on the ship if there is no vision. Don't even take a leadership role in anything if you don't have a vision for it. Don't just say, you know, somebody asked me to lead this ship, but I've got no passion for it. I've got no vision for it. You need to have a vision. If you want to get through this storm, you take Ernest Shackleton. He had a vision. And he hung on to that for dear life. And never did he come along and say, you know what, let's just turn the ship around and go back. He just hung on to that. It's like that lighthouse that you keep focusing on that and say, somehow we've got to get there. Now, when that vision is gone, then you're going to have to abandon ship. But don't lose that vision. Now, come along at times and reevaluate the vision. Because God does allow difficult circumstances to come into our lives to cause us to stop and reevaluate the vision. Is that really what it should be? And so constantly reevaluate that. Our vision at Jungle Breeze Youth Ministries is a very basic vision, and yet it's one that we keep hanging on to. It is to invest in the lives of people, assisting them to serve the Lord and their own communities. Okay, so that's your vision. You say, well, that's very generic. Well, it is very generic, but it helps you go when you're going through difficult times in your mission, whatever it is, to reevaluate and say, that's what our call is. That's what we have stepped out. That's why we've gotten on the journey, is to assist and invest in people's lives. And so that's all a part of the journey. And I'm just going to inject it right here now while it's on my mind, is yesterday there was a number of us, people got together, just a bunch of the missionaries and people that are involved in these missions that are part of the event this yesterday and today, or today and tomorrow. And John Copeland shared something, and I'm going to put it in my own words because I don't have it verbatim. But he made the statement, don't resist conflict and relationship challenges within your organization. He says, accept them because it's simply normal. Okay? Too many times we want to resist. Just as soon as we see some challenges and some relationship issues within our organization, we just want to resist that and say, stop it. Like, let's get over with this and let's move. And he's saying, accept them. It's normal. And all I have to do is look at my own life and say, yeah, it is normal for me to have conflict with individuals. And so reevaluate your vision and realize that is a part of the work as we move forward. The third point I have here is it a leak from the exterior or is it from the interior of your ship? All right, that makes a huge difference. Is it from the exterior or is it from the interior? And I share with you that Ernest Shackleton, he said he can handle the storms of life, the weather elements coming in on him a whole lot easier, and he will way rather deal with those than he will with the ones that are interior when the morale starts dropping within his team and everybody comes along and says there is no hope. But you're going to have to look at the facts, and as you're facing this storm, whatever it is it interior or is it exterior? Because if it's exterior, there are times when there's not much you can do about that except work with that exterior element and try to build relationships. And that's why the Bible says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And so you try to build bridges with the situation that's happening exterior. And so those can be various different things. There are probably individuals in this group. And well, actually, matter of fact, right now, I just was talking with a brother from Olive Branch. And I think, Daryl, you would be able to expound on that, but the government is making it difficult for your schools. Okay, that's an exterior attack that is being put on the Grenadian schools. And the only thing they can do about that is they can pray about it, and they can go out there and try to build relationships with the government and say, you know, we don't want you to put a hole in our ship. And so they go out there and they work with that. But if it's within, and so I'm just going to use, I'm just using that now as an illustration, so bear with me. But if it's within, and some of the teachers are starting to work against each other, and there's friction that's happening and that kind of thing going on, well, that's a whole different picture now. Administrators aren't working together, and the list goes on and on. That is a completely different picture. Now, the weight actually hangs heavier on leadership's roles when that is taking place, because we brought you on board because we thought you had the vision and you want to move forward. So you analyze that whole thing and you get the facts together. Is it an exterior or is it an interior situation that you have? Then the fourth one I have here is, what is the cause? What is the cause? And we need to dig into that one deeply, analytically. We have to lay all the emotion aside and just ratchet that one down. What is the cause? Why is this happening? And you know, I'm just going to have to be honest. I've already said, and I'm going to be tying in corporate world and also mission. And I don't know how you can separate those when it comes to leadership, because there's so many that are tied together. But I've said many times that if I'm sitting in my office at the end of the day, and one of my employees heads out the driveway and gets out onto the road and he peels rubber as he's leaving because he's upset that something happened within the plant that day, I need to look in the mirror. And first of all, talk to myself and say, Kevin, is there something that you are doing wrong? Is it actually my problem? That's where it has to start off with leadership. We have to analyze the cause and figure it out. Is it me? And if I have laid myself open before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know of anything in my life that is causing that turmoil to take place within my ship, then I'm released at that point then to move forward and keep working with the situation. Because you as a leader can be completely innocent. You can be. Depending what size of an organization you have, you can be completely free. But you need to work it down through and find out. So just as an illustration, when that individual comes back the next morning, you go talk to him and say, you know, I saw what happened there. What was the deal behind all that? And he says, well, you know what, I just did it just to check out the torque on my car. And okay, well, go find a gravel pit next time and go try it out there. But don't do it in front of our, okay, you just give him that. But if he says, you know what, the supervisor that you had me working under, and he goes on and tells his story, then you have a responsibility. Now you have some, you get the package put together. And you're saying, again, Kevin, well, look, the leak that is in my ship is a whole lot bigger than, well, keep working with it. And look at, analyze the cause, get the facts together. Facts are facts are facts. You cannot do anything about it, so to speak. They are the facts. And you have to get them figured out. You walk down through your ship, and you look at the hole, and you say, there it is. How did it happen? How did the rust start working away at this hole, and the water is starting to come in? What are the facts? All right, so that's that aspect of it. That's the engine. When I'm all done here, I'd like to open it up. We have enough time here for a dialogue here yet. I'm always interested in that. Next one is pray. When we have, and the next one is faith. And the first one I have down here under faith is pray. You dialogue with God. There is that faith aspect when you're talking to God and you're praying with Him, you just wanna lay everything out before Him and just simply, first of all, worship Him, glorify Him, and praise Him for who He is in a worship experience. Because my heart, I have to get my heart in the proper situation to work through this situation. My heart is in the wrong place, and I've been there already where I've handled a situation completely wrong because I was not in proper tune with God. There's that song that goes, "My heart is so happy in Jesus, my Lord. No clouds can my faith in Him dim. I started to walk in the straight, narrow way. I intend to go through with Him." And then it goes on and says, "The shipwrecks of faith lie in the shore all along, but I'm going to just keep on going through it, no matter what. You can have all this around because I intend to go through with Him." All right? That is the way you can get into that frame of mind is through prayer. And as the shipwrecks of faith lie in the shore all along, I intend to go through with Him. Why? Because I worship Him. I adore Him. He's my lighthouse. I keep pressing on no matter what. And so I'm in a spirit of prayer. The next thing that I have down here is I need to be in a spirit of humility. And I can't emphasize that one enough. When we are going through difficult experiences, I must come through with a spirit of humility. Leaders, may I make it general? Maybe I'm just revealing myself too much, but I, for myself, I got the answer. You do it my way, you get that thing fixed, and we're going to get this thing figured out. No, I have to come through with a spirit of humility. And I have to be humble about this thing. I might be formulating some answers already in my mind, but I must be humble. If I want to be able to resolve this situation, if I want to be instrumental in resolving this situation, I can never do it on my own, but if I want to be instrumental, then I'm going to have to come through with a spirit of humility. That is when people are going to be able to gain confidence and work together in this situation. The next thing that I have down here is stay focused with the facts and also the vision. All right, stay focused with the facts and also the vision. What you're going to find when you're going through these situations is that some people, all they want to do is rearrange the furniture in your ship. And it's not going to fix the problem. It's interesting sometimes how some people, they come along with you sit back and say, where did that come from? How is that supposed to? No, that's not going to take care of it. You are the leader, and you're going to have to bring this ship through. Ernest Shackleton was the leader, and you read through his book, and there was times when he laid awake at night formulating a plan and thinking how he's going to, because he was getting these different ideas coming towards him, and he had to analyze through that. Some of them just simply wanted to rearrange the furniture. And he says, that's not going to take care of the problem because he's the leader. He takes responsibility. So we have to make sure that we stay focused with the facts and also the vision. And don't allow people just to come along and rearrange the furniture. The fourth one I have down here is seek counsel. And I have down here from seasoned people. All right? We sometimes want to come along and, you know, just get advice from whoever. And we pick up on this, we pick up on that, but take it from seasoned people. I have sat in seminars already where an individual gets up and he's got all the answers, but as he's talking, you find out that he hasn't weathered any storms. And if I get on a ship with an individual, if I go on a journey with a ship with an individual, I want to be able to walk up to that captain and say, "Have you ever gone through any storms?" He says, No, I've never gone through any storms. We're sailing across the ocean, but no, I've never faced any storms in life. Never. We've always had calm sailing. I'm going to say, "Can I have my ticket back? I want off this ship." Okay? I want to get on a ship with an individual that has weathered storms. And he says, "You know, Kevin, should I tell you the storms we went through? And we navigated this one, we navigated that one, we navigated another one, and the list. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the journey with you. Let's set sail. And those are the kind of people that you want to seek counsel from. And so seek counsel from seasoned people. Because the Bible says in a multitude of counselors there is safety, but you need to get your wisdom from the right people. Last one I have here, and you can see the picture beside there, it's that picture of that frog with its hands around the neck of that duck. And there was a friend of mine that gave me a picture like that. And I had it hanging up in my office for a long time. Don't ever give up, all right? But this is an area where you may have to come along. When you seek counsel, you may have to at some point say, you know what, the vision is no longer there. It has changed. The circumstances are different. The environment is different. And we're going to have to abandon ship. I think of when this story just comes to my mind right now. I just think of the account when Henry Ford had invented the car. And these cars started heading up and down the prairies of North America. And there is this individual out in the prairies that wrote a letter to whoever was president at that time. And I have a copy of that letter someplace, but put it in very clear, distinct instructions that you've got to get rid of these horseless carriages because you are going to completely destroy the industry of those that are making buggies and making horse whips and making saddles and all these kind of things that go with horses. You're going to completely destroy that industry. So you've got to get rid of these horseless carriages. All right. If you were making saddles and buggies and all that kind of thing related to horses, you may have to come along and change your industry because the automotive came along and kind of pulled that away from you. That's what I'm just sharing about. You may have to change your vision. But don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Keep pressing on no matter what. Last one I have here is feelings. There are feelings. So let's just say we're on this ship right now and we're facing some turbulence within. I can't even fathom the amount of feelings that are stirring within this audience right here. And so one of the things that I'm going to have to be willing to do is to seek to understand. All right, because there are people that come along and say, you know what, as Christians, we shouldn't even be, the feelings aren't even a part of life. We just simply put our fact in Jesus Christ, in God, and we have our faith in him, and feelings aren't even relevant. No, there's a verse in Hebrews where it talks about that God is acquainted with the feelings of our weaknesses, of our infirmities. We have feelings. And so you need to be sensitive to my feelings, and I need to be sensitive to yours. And there's this book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Steve Covey. And if you've never read that book, that's a good book. It talks about private victory and public victory. And in there's one chapter that says, seek to understand. Mm-hmm. All right? And that is one that I wrestle with all the time because I want quick fixes. That's just my nature. But I've got to stop. I've got to seek to understand. I have to be sensitive to my feelings, but I cannot let my feelings control me. There is I can't remember who it was, but there's a president that wrote just a personal journey that he has gone through. He had gone through some difficult experience. I can't remember who it was. But he said when he gets up in the morning, he has all these feelings that he has to work with. Like he's facing something really, really difficult. But he has to make sure he gets all those feelings in subjection before he walks out of his bedroom door. And he goes down the steps and he opens up the door to meet his people. You got to get your feelings under control, and you got to work with them, and you have to seek to understand the other people's feelings, and you work through the situation. In your feelings, those are things that can sometimes get you thrown out of kilter, so to speak. But my second point that I have here is talk confidentially to a mentor. Talk confidentially to a mentor about your feelings, because sometimes our feelings can just get us all messed up. And I'm thinking right now of an individual that, in our home community, in our church, his brother died of a massive heart attack. And he's just reeling from that whole thing. And several of us are in dialogue with him, and we're saying, no, you got to keep the facts where they are. You keep putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in the facts. And you got to keep your feelings in the back, because his feelings are just wanting to come to the front. And understandably, why wouldn't they in that kind of a situation? But you need to be able to talk to a mentor at that point and say, I need you to help me through this, because my feelings are just all over the place. So talk to a mentor. And then communicate. Communicate. I can't express that enough. As you go through difficult experiences, communicate. And then, yeah, I already talked to this about this one. Is the last one is control your feelings. So be sensitive to the leaks. Talk confidentially to a mentor. Communicate. And control your feelings. In conclusion, I'm going to wrap this up shortly, and then I'd like to simply open it up. There's a Psalm 23 is a powerful psalm to simply conclude everything here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right, then it moves down to say, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. All right, that's, in a nutshell, I'd like to bring that together as a in conclusion, is that God is going to be there for you. He's going to be walking you through that valley of the shadow of death. But I'm just simply going to close it off with, we must come to conclusions. We're going to simply get our people going all over the map. When you know within your organization that you're going to have to do some really dirty work, and it gets dirty work, you got to get that tar out, and you got to open up the pail, and you got to get the brush out of there, and you got to start mucking it over top of the hole and patching that hole. It's dirty work. And when you walk away, you just look at yourself and say, serious? Is this what it took? Yeah, but you saved the ship. You saved the rest of the people. It gets to be dirty work. You want to do it with all the steps I shared, in prayer and humility, but you've got to do the dirty work. You got to get up in the morning and say, God, I don't want to do this. And he says, but you're going to have to do it. You've thought it through, you've sought counsel, and it might be walking up to an individual that's within the ship and saying, you know, we've worked with you, brother or sister, for all this length of time, and I'm sorry. We just don't see a mellowing taking place. We don't see you capturing the vision. There's a demoralization taking place, and we're going to have to ask you to move on, and we're going to assist them with finding another place. Whatever all that looks like, but it's going to be dirty work. And if we're not ready to step up and do the dirty work, then let's step away from leadership and become a follower, because leadership is going to be at times the dirty work. Again, in closing, there's this poem that you all know. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and then the big one, wisdom to know the difference. And don't come talk to me about that one and say, Kevin, how do you figure that one out? Because I wrestle with that one so many times. But I still remember when we lived up in Northern Ontario, we used to have Bible study in our homes, in our pastor's house. We'd sit in the living room, and there on the door that opened up into his office, he had that poem hanging there. And as a little boy, I'd sit there Wednesday night after Wednesday night, and I got that one just riveted into my mind. It just hung there, that poem. And it stood me in good stead many, many times. And you just simply cry out to God and say, Lord, do I need to do something about this, or do I just simply let it go? Because I have gotten my fingers into some things already that I should have just let it go. And then there's times I should have gotten involved. And I say, God, I don't want to. And so I step back, and you watch the confusion take place. All right, I'll open it up. Anything you want to share? Anything you'd like to come along and reinforce, or you want to come along and say, hey, there's another perspective that should have been brought into here. I'm open. Go ahead.
What about when there's a morale, you talked about morale, mm-hmm. When there's like a morale free
yeah.
fall,
yeah.
you know, how
yeah.
do you
yeah.
stop that?
Yeah. That's where I came along and said, reevaluate your core values. I really encourage every mission to have core values. And they need to be more than just something that you hang on the wall. But if you need some assistance on that, just look up core values. But integrity, humility, responsibility, compassion, generosity, the list goes on and on. But put your core values in place. And then just take them back to that individual that you feel there's always going to be one individual that is instrumental in pulling it down. All right? That started the whole thing. He might have feathered that out, but you got to take it back and you got to analyze, get the facts together. And someone started pulling that morale down, and just take them through all these core values and say, are you on board with us on these core values? And you can use that as a tool to work through that. But I encourage you to have core values. Some people say, oh, that's too generic. And no, we're Christians. We have no put right. Just put them down, and it's a tool that you can use. Does anybody else have some more comment on that, though?
May I add to that?
Yeah.
Our team coach told us to, in addition to having those, put them on the wall so that it's clearly visible.
That's correct.
And then it takes the emotion out of
yep.
needing to talk to someone, because
yep.
you can say, well, right here on the wall,
yep.
this is our mission statement.
Yep.
This is our vision statement,
yep.
our core values.
Yep.
And so then
yep.
when you do need to address it, it's not
that's
when
right.
you just don't like me, so you bring
yep.
it up now.
That's
it's
right.
It's on the wall for the
yep.
receiver.
Yeah. If you have an environment where you can hang them up all over the place. Like in our company, we have them hung up all over the place in strategic places so that there's not one person can work for us that says, I don't know what your core values are. No, you can walk over there, you can see them. There's going to be over there. They're going to be in the lunchroom. They're going to be in the office. They're going to be in the, they're all over the place. And so I encourage you to, don't use that as, you know, this is just common practice. No, this is who we are. And get your team to build those. Those can take days to put together, but they can be very beneficial, yeah. They got to be more than just hanging on the wall. Go ahead.
I know your topic is about fixing problems, but do you
yeah.
have any words of wisdom on how to prevent?
Yeah. 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 And I'm going to tell you, I don't have all the answers to that, but I have been in a situation where the morale is low. That's when I have to look in the mirror. And a lot of it stems from me. What's my attitude when I come into it? Is it all production, or is it about, hey, we're people and let's work together and let's have some, and if you would have been in the session yesterday, you would have heard some of that Larry from Bald Eagle shared very well on that, on how to keep the cinema and just energy flowing in your organization. You gotta do the fun stuff. You gotta do the attaboys, you got to come along and say the good mornings and mean it and all that stuff, and you can pull that back up. I know what it's like to have a poor morale. Then that's when I have to look in the mirror and say, Kevin, you're contributing to this thing, and it's up to me to come along and turn that thing around and start throwing the barbecues and start doing the fun stuff and start and get that back up again. You say, well, we're losing production. No, bring it, pull it back up. So it can be done. But it's a lot of hard work. I've said already that you can bring an energized, a person with high energy into this room, and he's going to have to work days and days and days to get everybody up to his level of energy. I can bring one demoralized person in here, and within 30 minutes, he can just have his just... That's the way it is. That's the way it is.
James 5:16.
That's right, yes. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, yes.
The Bible reminds us to get rid of the scorner.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And should I just tell you, we live in a relationship age where we don't really like the word discipline anymore. And I'm just sharing with you, if you are going to be in leadership, you're going to have to be willing to discipline. It is no fun. None of us like conflict. There's people that say, Kevin, it seems that you don't mind conflict. Oh, I hate conflict. I just hate conflict. But if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. And we have to work through it. Anything else?
How do you know? You had said sometimes if there's something that's not working out, eventually you have to. How do you, what How do you know when that point arrives?
To abandon ship you're talking about?
Well, or? I guess, or if something's not working out, mm-hmm. it's not. Yeah, I guess that's...
Yeah. I don't really have an easy answer for that one. That is, you're going to have to counsel with people that you have a lot of confidence in. Because when you do that, there's such a ripple effect to that. But I'm not saying it's ever wrong, so I've got 1 minute left. We've got 1 minute left.
Do you have anything to give to people, to those of us, say your ship's been torpedoed? And I like what you had to say as far as your praying goes and, you know, faith in that. But when your faith is just totally finished.
You know, there's nothing wrong with passing the baton on to someone else. When you as a leader have become so weak, but you say the vision is still there, my people are still here, then pass it on. And that's why I come along, build a team behind you. Just build a team. I can't emphasize it enough to build a team. I don't care if you only have 5 people on your organization. Build a team. If you have 20 people, it's all that more important. But the moment you have just a few followers, then get people behind you that can say, you know what, I need to get you to step in here and assist me through this because I'm weary. But I haven't lost sight of the vision, but I pass it on, yeah. All right, we've got 0 minutes. God bless you, and keep pressing on. Leadership is exciting. Leadership is a worthwhile cause, and don't give up. Keep pressing on. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.